To be back and just sharing with parents and families about our opinion and what we see with kids and families. We love them, and we think we are in a unique position to give some feedback and advice to parents without being all judgy and weird, although we are a little weird.
But,
I'm here with Melinda and Ellen and my awesome colleague Kimberly, and we're just going to sit and chat and welcome you into our normal kind of Tuesday morning routine here. So we have a lot of questions. We hear a lot of things from parents about elementary students. I think we've covered some stuff in our early childhood discussion a little while ago, but just about how to do parenting better. And I think there's this desire by every parent to be a great parent, to be really intentional with their time, but to also really not mess up their kids too badly and to ultimately have great kids that love Jesus and love other people and serve him. And so we kind of want to cover that topic today in a really casual way. So I think let's start with something really easy. For those of us that have kids and work with elementary age kids, what do you think is the most surprising thing about this age group that maybe parents aren't aware of or are maybe so steeped in the middle of parenting that they can't quite see it?
They are deep thinkers.
Yeah,
and they are. I think, especially since we started small group times for our second through fifth graders, they have really good questions and they like being challenged. And I think sometimes as parents, we're so focused on, did they get their homework done? And what time is soccer practice? And that sort of thing, that sometimes we fail to see or appreciate what they are really soaking in from the world around them, what they're soaking in at church. And it's been exciting to get to see them ask really good questions.
Well, I was going to say, I agree. And I think that the elementary age school children are more like middle schoolers were 10 or 15 years ago, that they are much more mature and grown up than they were. And they're experiencing life issues at a young age that they're not necessarily emotionally prepared to deal with. And it's scary.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How about you, Kimberly? You see a lot of elementary kiddos every week. And
I'm not a mommy yet, but I do get to know that they are sneaky.
They're a little mischievous sometimes.
But also, sometimes they're smarter than their own parents in certain areas. And with technology and with just knowing how to, I would say, play their parents. Mm-hmm. But just, they're, like Ellen said and Melinda said, they're dealing with things they're not emotionally ready for. So they're turning to who they think is the person they should, which is not their parents. It's the social media. It's the pop star that they're viewing. It's a friend who might be a couple years older than them. Mm-hmm. And so finding the right person to come and talk to for it to work out those problems and those curiosities.
Right.
I think that's a really excellent point, because let's talk about technology for a little bit. We were talking about that before the camera started rolling. Mm-hmm. And I think we think, oh, kids are going to get their first phone when they're 13 or 7th grade or 6th grade. We're really talking about kids getting into technology at a much earlier age. A lot of them are using iPads mm-hmm. from the time they're toddlers. They can swipe and get to the next thing when they're really little. Mm-hmm. And maybe having phones by the time they're 4th, 5th graders, or at least wanting phones, at least having a lot of access to that. And so let's talk a little bit about technology and some of the safeguards maybe that we should see with our kids. It's a big topic, but just your opinion, do your kids have phones? At what age did you have your kids get phones? Because you have a wide range of ages.
I have adult children and now a younger set of children. Mm-hmm. And when my adult children were teenagers, we got them a phone when they were 16 and needed to drive or drove. And so we wanted them to have access to a phone. But that was before social media.
Sure.
And before really texting and driving at the same time was an issue. But now with our younger kids, our oldest one is, they are 10, And they've been asking, when am I going to get a phone? Mm-hmm. And
because a lot of their friends have phones.
They do. Yeah. And a lot of their peers have phones.
Yeah.
Even my eight-year-old is asking when he's going to get a phone. Mm-hmm. And my answer is, I don't know. Because I don't want them to have a phone, really. And there's there's, in my mind, there's no reason for them to have a phone at this age. It just can cause trouble. The internet is so accessible, unless you get an old-fashioned flip phone.
Right.
Then they're really, you're setting yourselves up for disaster. And we have internet in our home that is has blocked for any kind of pornography or anything that is negative. And yet, you can find a way around it.
It's
and,
true.
You know, no matter how careful you are, you can find a way around it. And I don't want them to be exposed to that yet.
Yeah. So, for us, we started with the flip phone. Mm-hmm. Our kids were both, well, if I'm really, really being honest, seventh grade for our oldest and sixth grade for our youngest, which I'm still hearing about. But we started with the flip phone, where I had no internet access. We always had the computer downstairs, where you can only work with us at the kitchen table when you're online. And still they can find stuff. No social media until they're older. But, you know, I'm hearing parents too. I'm in a small group with a little group of girls, and they're telling me, well, I saved up and bought the phone. Mm-hmm. And parents are saying, well, they bought the phone with their own money, so what kind of control do I get to have over the phone? And I would still say all control over the phone.
Absolutely.
So they don't have passwords that you don't know.
Right.
Your fingerprint, if they have an iPhone, is on that they don't have anything that you can't get in to their phone about. I think you just need to start that. This is not a private thing for you. This
Correct.
Is something that we are able to check all the time and be right in the middle of if they do have the phone.
Right.
I also think sometimes our concerns, understandably and rightly so, go to pornography or that sort of thing. But the thing that surprised me when our daughter got a phone was waking up one morning and finding her in tears and not understanding everything was fine when we all went to bed. Why is she in tears? Well, because someone she thought was a friend had texted her, or they ended up talking on the phone, saying some very unkind things. All this was going on while my husband and I were sound asleep, thinking everything was fine. And I looked back to when I was growing up, if someone entered our home via phone, my parents knew about it. And if it was in the middle of the night, they were the ones to answer the phone.
Right.
And so at that point, we started, okay, phones get turned in at bedtime and you don't get it again until the morning. And it was frightful, and it was scary to me that someone could enter our home via the telephone and emotionally harm my child, and I wasn't even aware of it.
You had no control.
I had no control.
Right.
Because I hadn't taken control.
Right.
Yeah.
And our philosophy has always been that for as long as you live in our house, you live by our rules.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And
some of those old things our parents always said are actually really
it's
true.
Really
works. Like, it actually works really well.
I know. One of our older sons, when he turned 18, said, I'm 18 now. You can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
We're like, well, actually, we can.
Actually, I can.
And
I said
until
so.
You move out. You know, so if you want to stay here, then you're going to live by our rules. And it seems harsh. Mm-hmm. And yet it's God placed us in authority over them for a purpose. And we need to be their parents.
Absolutely.
And it's hard. Like you said, Melinda, it's super hard to be what they feel like is the bad guy.
Absolutely.
And yet you were loving her by taking that phone away from her at night.
Definitely.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I think too, just having that, you can always give them more freedoms. It's hard to take it away. Mm-hmm. So if you start out with this really limited, like we have the flip phone and we have this limited freedom, you can expand it as they show maturity and good judgment and things like that and making good decisions. But it's really hard to pull it back. So I think it's a good thing to start at that. Like, this is the rule of the house. This is what, and to set good examples. with your own social media and your own phone use at the dinner table and things like that. Because your kids
Going way too far
right
now.
I'm sorry, I know. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. I know. But it's true because I think a lot of us are like, oh, look, right here, you know, and really we shouldn't have it at that. We should be engaging with our families.
Right,
we should, those should be
kids.
Put away. We should have a time of the night that is put away and we are done for the day. And so that we are able to be with our spouses, with our friends, with our kids, and not be distracted by that constant. Because you can do, you know, your phone all night. So
right.
How about you, Kim? I mean, you're at that in between age where, you know, you kind of came up through it.
Right.
Too. You've had it for a long time.
Well, I feel like I'm on your side of the spectrum where I had the tiny phone that I actually had to share with my sister.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we were only a year apart in school, so whoever got the phone first. And so that was
That's
tough. An argument in and of itself. We only got one phone and that was it. But I'm seeing nowadays more so than at what age do you get them a phone, just social media on any device, really,
right.
On the computer, on a tablet. Like you said, infants are using tablets even today.
Mm-hmm.
But are you friends with every one of your children on social media?
Yes.
You are?
Yes, and I always have been.
So I've noticed after asking some, even here in our congregation and some of the teenagers outside of church as well, that it's not cool for them to be friends with their parents on social media. To me, as not even a parent yet, that kind of states, I'm afraid to not be cool in front of my kids, but also I don't have any control of what they are doing on social media and how they're accessing it. Or I've found out more recently, they can create a second Instagram account, or they can create a second Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
And that
many
is...
Many of them do.
Yes. And so I know I'm going to lose
Snapchat.
A lot of Snapchat friends
you
right
are
now because I'm ratting them all out.
You. Yeah.
But no, and that was something too. And that was not being a parent, and I haven't graduated into that uncool phase with the teenagers
you're still
yet.
Cool.
Still
kind of
cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think I am. I'll get the accept kind of fast from when I request them. But just seeing what some of them post on their second account.
Correct.
Because it's one that mom and dad don't know about.
Yeah.
Or it's one that they use as an alternate account for school friends or things like that that isn't as necessarily appropriate as the one that they view to the public.
True.
But that was the biggest eye-opening and aha moment was that their kids don't think they're cool enough to be their friends, so they back off.
Yeah.
It's
now,
like that's
you
where
that?
You need to grasp on.
Yeah, you do.
Do you see that more in high school or middle school or even all the way down to elementary school?
Well, like you said, they're experiencing things a lot younger, so I know that even though I think the legal age for Instagram is 13
mm-hmm.
that all you have to do is enter your birth year.
Right.
So
you
if
can
you're
make yourself
tech
13,
savvy,
right?
13-year-old, it can be elementary school.
Right.
But I know that you're able to view social media posts and things like that even if you don't have an access to an account. So I can go and search Facebook and I can view people who I'm not friends with and I can look at their stuff on what's cool to post. And then Snapchat, I don't know what that is, but I know there's younger elementary ages that have Snapchats.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
And that's the thing of if your child has, and Snapchat's the most concerning, if your child has a Snapchat, you need to be their friend on there because it's not for the public eye to see.
Right.
And a lot
right.
of it is a private one-on-one conversation, and that's the scary factor too of what can I send instantly that's going to get deleted right after they open it and send it. And so.
Well, and even if you are friends with them on Snapchat, that doesn't mean they're going to send you the things
that you can see.
Right.
You only get to see
what
they post for the group that's on there, but they can send.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think it isn't, and we talk a lot about that, is widening the circle, right? Mm-hmm. So that Kim is friends with my kids on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You're friends with my kids on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, you got to be savvy as a parent.
Oh,
you need
absolutely.
To be a little shifty.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds really bad to say that way, but the more people that are seeing your kids' posts, and when they are younger and they get that very first Instagram account and they're asking Ellen to follow them, by all means, follow them because then there are all these people checking and seeing. And then, you know, at our house, it's if you don't want your grandmother to see that post, don't post it.
Right.
Because she's your follower. So some of those things, I think it's important for them to understand that everyone can see that. But it's also important for us to have a village of people that are watching and being courageous to say, hey, saw your kid on Instagram or Snapchat, mm-hmm. which is a Snapchat just drives me insane.
Right.
But to see what's going on and say, this right. is what's happening, and to reach out. And we've had parents do that. And I think it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm always really appreciative when someone tells me a story or hears something about, you know, a kid that we love and care mm-hmm. about, posting something on Instagram that requires maybe a more adult conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they are sharing things that we would never have ever thought about sharing
right.
when
Absolutely.
We were younger. The level of privacy is much less
right.
than I think when we were kids.
And I have mm-hmm. Snapchat mostly to see what my adult kids
yeah.
post, because they like to post funny things. And,
yeah.
So I don't check it all the time.
Yeah.
And the other day I checked in and said, you have 4 new friend requests. And mm-hmm. so I clicked on it, and there was one from a first grader.
Oh my gosh.
That I know.
Uh-huh.
And I about fell out of my chair. First grade.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that scared me.
Yeah.
The thought
yeah.
of a first grader yeah. having a phone, first of all, and then Snapchat, and to know
yeah.
how to use Snapchat.
Yeah.
So we need yeah. to be very vigilant in what we're doing as parents.
We need to be
leaders.
In their business.
We do.
Absolutely. And I think that makes some parents uncomfortable to say that, to mm-hmm. not be cool,
mm-hmm.
to say, I don't know if I should be. Yeah, you should.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that sounds really harsh and judgy.
But you should.
But you really need to be in their business,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to social media, especially
right.
when it comes to technology. You have to know what your kids
what
are doing.
Doing.
And you were saying this the other day, you know, it's scary to ask the question that you might actually know the answer to. Like,
oh.
you know, you might know that the answer that you're going to get is actually really
mm-hmm.
scary.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask it anyway.
Right.
You have to get in it. It's just too important not to be courageous as a parent.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And starting
yeah.
at a young
and
age.
Starting at a very young age.
Sets the standard
mm-hmm.
for what you're going to do all the way through high
it does.
School.
And
Definitely.
Having those conversations, I think if you get to a middle schooler and you've not been talking about technology, you've not been talking about sex, you've not been talking about body image, it's too late. It's not too late to start. I don't mean that in that way, but you need to set some groundwork. So when we're talking to elementary parents, it's really, really important to be having those conversations
mm-hmm.
age appropriately and with the right context with your very young kids.
Kids are really struggling with some very adult type situations. Technology
yeah.
brings that in. Just sin. Just there's bad people out there. There's mean kids out there.
Yes.
Our elementary age kids are dealing with the whole comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And what does so-and-so think of me? And do I look like such-and-such? And, you know, do I have this? And all of that information is pouring in, and they're trying to navigate, what does this mean about me?
Mm-hmm.
What is my value?
We've talked about that as with regards to home being a really safe place for kids.
Absolutely.
Because it's harsh out there.
It is.
Most of our kids are experiencing things either through sports or school or a combination thereof that they are being compared, and they have a lot going. And so having home being a place where they know the boundaries,
yeah.
they know that they're consistently loved and supported,
mm-hmm.
Is huge for them.
But sometimes home is not always the safe place.
It's not.
It's, you know, you're talking about kids having so much pain, and I think with sin being
yeah.
a part of our world, that we have problems at home, and
yeah.
no family is
no,
without
gosh.
Problems.
No.
We need to figure out how we can help our students, but also help our parents and help
yeah.
us navigate this world without hurting each other's feelings and trying to be there for them.
It's true.
I think one of the things that I've been reading about elementary and middle school children, and one of the things that we need to do is ask open-ended questions to our kids. Not just, how was your day?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. You know, ask them, what happened in this class today, or what happened with this friend today? And try and get them to open up about what happens in their day so that they feel like you care, first of all, and then you can really find out what's going on in their world. But just try and ask open-ended questions.
Perfect. Love that. Kim?
I would say speak half as much as you listen. Your kids, like what you said, open-ended questions, but your kids have so much to tell you, and they've want someone to listen to them. So listening and just, I think you say you take a book in your daughter's room and sit there. And it takes a couple minutes, but they're going to start spewing out. And that's how you open up that relationship with them, and you get that open where they can come to you, you can come to them without feeling any attack or anything. And it's a comfort, and it's home for them.
Linda?
Yeah, just in line with what you both said, it's not middle school or high school yet where they start, I have nothing to say, you're going to get nothing from me. They have a lot to say. They want to be known. They want to be accepted, but they want to feel known. And it's a time to capitalize on where they're at and to build on that and start laying a really strong foundation for the next 4 years.
Yeah. And a really good tip on how to get your kids to start talking to you is just go to the bathroom. And then they will want to have long conversations.
Get on the phone.
Yes.
And I think for me, this is a great opportunity to talk to your kids about how you're not perfect.
Yep.
Because they're already feeling inadequate, and it's really encouraging for them to know they're still open to hearing your experiences and what you have going, and for them to know that you make mistakes and that you've never parented a child this age before and you're just trying it out. It's a great way to model God's forgiveness with our kids. And so I think they already know you messed it up. They already know you weren't perfect. So the lesson for them is the forgiveness, and that you came to them and asked them about that, and that they can do the same, because they are going to mess up, and it's actually okay to know that you're going to mess up. Right. So I think that those are all great things for our kids to know. So thanks for joining us for our second podcast. We are going to go on to a third one here someday.
Yes.
Share more stuff. So thanks. Have a great day.
Bye.